verse, and starting in verse 21, we're just going to read this, and then I'd like to preach a message this evening entitled, Forgiveness. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Forgiveness, my chains are gone, I've been set free. In verse 21, the Bible says, And then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? We're going to talk about forgiveness a little bit this evening and see how it relates to us, see how we relate forgiveness to other people, and see how we relate forgiveness to the Lord in our relationship with Him as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessings on the reading of His Word and the preaching of His Word this evening. Lord, we thank You for this message, and Lord, we just pray that You would hide us behind the cross. Lord, allow us only to say those things that would be pleasing unto You, and Lord, we ask that for everyone who's here, that You'd touch them in a very, very special way. It's by no accident that those of us who are here are here, and for those that are maybe still traveling to get here, Lord, we'll get here. But Lord, for the moment, we want to welcome You into our presence, and we thank You for this opportunity to preach Your Word. We pray that You'd bless the reading and preaching of Your Word, that Your Word would not return void, but it would purpose to do and intend to do exactly what You say and will that it will do. And for that, we'll be grateful. We pray that we'd be better off as a result of Your Word this evening, and we thank You for this opportunity. And we give You the praise, honor, and glory for it all. In Your precious name we pray, and amen. Brother Dennis, am I okay if I don't use this now? All right, so tonight in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 18, and Peter's posing the question to the Lord, much like many of us have in times past, and maybe we've had opportunities to seek forgiveness, to provide forgiveness, and to want to be forgiven. Forgiveness is a difficult spot, and it puts us in a precarious place in our lives, and sometimes it's not a comfortable place to be, either to be forgiven or to forgive. And sometimes it doesn't feel natural for this flesh to forgive. It doesn't feel right for us sometimes to forgive somebody that has hurt us or to forgive those who maybe have trespassed against us in some way or another that have done us wrong. But we're still called upon to forgive them. And incidentally, throughout this message, and I hope to prove through God's Word that we're forgiven because of the shed blood on the cross of Calvary, and because of Him, we're created in His image, and we are likewise then to forgive. And it may not be the easiest thing to do. And this flesh, it's rotten. I'll just share with you that I know that this flesh is rotten. It's no good. And so it feels comfortable for us not to forgive, because we feel vindicated that if someone does something wrong to us and we hold something back against them, then we must be doing right because they've done us wrong. And to not forgive them must be the only proper thing to do. But according to God's Word, we are to forgive. And so this evening, we're going to find out how the Lord unravels this and makes it very clear in steps that maybe all of us can understand and have a better appreciation. And I want to walk out of here, even myself, better apt to be able to forgive and not to hold it in, not to hold a grudge, be able to forgive and to let the Lord take care of it. Let me just say this, that when we forgive, we often may not forget. We're human, and in this body, we're not called upon to bring back our remembrances. We may not remember everything, but we're not called upon to forget because we're human, and we may not forget everything. But what we are called upon to do is to forgive. And so in the prospect of forgiving, those things that have happened to us, if they're wrong, if they're sinful, if they've occurred to us and somebody else has done it to us and it's wrong and it's a sin, we are still called upon to forgive those individuals who have committed that against us. But let me just say this, that when we forgive them, that does not We don't let them off the hook, per se. The Lord will take care of their responsibility and the judgment on them. We're not their judge. We're just called upon to listen to the Lord and allow Him to live big in and through our lives and to forgive. Is that easy? I don't know. It hasn't always been easy for me, and I'll just be honest and upfront. It's not easy for me sometimes to do that. If you've ever been hurt, if you've ever been put in a precarious spot, if you've ever been used, if you've ever been hurt by a dear individual, a family member, a loved one, or someone who has committed fraudulent behavior toward you, it hurts. Yes, it's rough, and it makes you feel bad, and it makes you feel bad toward that person. But even at that, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And he said to his Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so who are we not to forgive when we have the opportunity and the Lord embraces us and loves us and he forgives us even despite ourselves, that we wouldn't forgive someone else, even if they've hurt us? And Miss Pam, even if it hurts so bad that sometimes we just can't hardly stand it, but we know that we're called upon to forgive because that's what the Lord wants us to do. And so this evening, we think about forgiveness from God to us, and that's welcomed. Isn't it a good thing? We're proud to be able to be forgiven by God. We want to be forgiven. We want our sins to be forgiven. When we do wrong and in this flesh, we crucify this flesh. And Paul says it clearly, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me." But even despite that, we sin. And so we still need forgiveness. This flesh is not perfect. And so we still need forgiveness. So if we like to be forgiven, how come we don't like to forgive? And so the flip side of that is forgiveness from us to others is often a difficult spot. And it's not as fluid, if you will. It doesn't seem like it's as fluid to us that we would be we would receive it much easier than we would give it. And it should not be that way, but that's often how it is. For me anyway, maybe not for you all, maybe it's easier for you, and maybe this is just for me this evening, but we'll talk about that later. Most of us rejoice in the first and stumble on the second. So we struggle with offering forgiveness to other people, but we want to be forgiven. So when we do things wrong, and you know, it's not always on purpose. Things occur and things happen and things do take place that we need forgiveness for. But sometimes things happen and we need to be forgiving of other people too. So if we're forgiven, why is it that we can't forgive others? Why is it that we struggle with that as an opportunity to be able to say, I forgive you, and yes, it did hurt, and yes, it was a bad situation, but I'm still okay. The Lord has forgiven me, and I'm going to let that go. And so that's why this evening the title of the message is Forgiveness. My chains are gone. I've been set free. We can get freedom through release, through forgiving people and offering forgiveness, even if we don't feel like it's warranted or that we feel like it's just. But it is the right thing to do. So this evening, unforgiveness, if we think about forgiveness and then we think about the flip side, which is unforgiveness, unforgiveness is more subtle than most sins, all right? And you understand what subtle means. So it's not becoming, it's not as apparent. And unforgiveness creeps in unaware and you're not even really aware that it's attached to you like a contagion until it's got hold of you. And so it's very pervasive. It can control your life. And unforgiveness crawls into your spirit so gently and so nobly, so innocently that you don't know it's there until it really has you. And you can hold that unforgiveness in your heart, Miss Bobby. You can hold it against the person for whatever reason. And as Christians, we ought not to do that. But we do that. And many of us do that. We've tried not to, but we still do it. And so this evening, the Lord would have us to know that unforgiveness, as Christians, there is no room for unforgiveness in our lives. Well, how about this? It's almost more common than most sins. If you consider sin, but you also consider unforgiveness, unforgiveness is almost more common than most sin. We, as Christian people, and I'm talking about for brethren, okay? I'm talking about relatives in Christ, because we're all related through the shed blood. And by your own admission, if you're saved this evening, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And I hope you're okay with that. Amen. We're related. Amen. Through the shed blood. So we're called upon to forgive. But unfortunately for us, it's often more common than sin. And, you know, we battle with it all the time. So we struggle with that idea of forgiveness, and often as it comes to us. And even though we may not stumble over the bigger sins, you can name all the big sins, you know them all by heart. Even if we don't stumble against them, unforgiveness is still way up here. And the sins of the flesh, lack of forgiveness seems to affect more of us. Because you know what it does? The sin of unforgiveness, because it is a sin, the sin of unforgiveness traps you in a prison. And it embraces you in a prison-like state with shackles and fetters, so that it immobilizes you, and you can't function like Christ like you should. You can't work for Him, you can't serve Him, and you definitely can't show the love to the brethren. Because how can you show love when you have unforgiveness in your heart? It doesn't work. It's not comparable. There's no space for that. You can't have an unforgiving heart and a loving heart at the same time. It's not possible. And so this evening, when we turn over to the book of Matthew in verse 21, we're going to read 21 through 35, and there's a parable here that's going to hit home for all of us. And I'm almost certain that we've been here before. And maybe when we park here and we just kind of discuss this as a family, that we'll see how this comes to life for all of us. So we'll read it, start in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" So Peter's curious and he wants to know. Now, it's kind of interesting to me that Peter would be the one, Peter who is one of the loud, boisterous, obnoxious disciples, he would be the one asking how many times he should be forgiving somebody. But anyway, and then in verse 22, Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." So as many times, is there a light, brother? Is there a light that we could use? Can we turn it on? Oh, it flickers? Never mind, I can't see good. Okay. Until 70 times 7, but until 70 times 7. So the Lord's making it very clear to him that, you know, the struggle is real. That you don't have to have a numerical value to put that into place. As many times as you need to forgive, that's how many times you forgive. Every time you need to forgive, that's how many times you forgive. And the Lord wanted to make it clear. So then he says in verse 23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." Now, many of you know this passage, and it's a well-known spoken passage of Scripture. So there's a king with servants, and the servant is indebted unto the king. And now he's in a precarious spot because he can't pay it back. So have you ever been in a position that you know that that you will never be paid back for whatever it is that you've been provided for, but you willingly and you freely and you offer freedom of debt, forgiveness of that debt? So let's read here what the servant the king does for the servant. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. In other words, the king wanted to make it very clear that, look, if you're not going to be able to pay, then we're going to make amends to rectify this situation. We're going to take care of this debt. We're going to sell you, your wife, and your children, and you'll be working it off for the rest of your life. And so throughout the prospect of the opportunity, he says it this way then, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, him, his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So whatever he would recoup from the selling of his the husband, the wife, the children, and everything that he had, that would go to pay the debt. All right? So when you think about our debt, when you think about our relationship with Christ and the debt that was paid that we couldn't pay for ourselves, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, he paid the ultimate price. And we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gave that to us. And it's a debt that we owe that we will never be able to pay. But listen to this. In verse 26, he says, the servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. In other words, now he's trying to barter, and he's trying to say, you know what? He's talking to the king, and he's trying to tell him, if you give me an opportunity, I'll work, and I'll pay it back at my first available time, but I need you to be patient with me and allow me to prove to you what I'm going to say to you, that it actually works, and that I am going to get you back what you rightfully have given me. And so we see then that the opportunity has been made. The debt is being refinanced through an opportunity to pay back or to forgive a debt. And then in verse 27, he says, Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So in other words, everything that he owed him, the king said, don't worry, you're good. I'll forgive you of that debt. Have you ever been forgiven of a debt? And I'm just talking about a monetary debt. Have you ever owed somebody maybe something and they just said, you know what, I'm good. Well, let's just call it even. Let's just call it, you know, you did a lot for me, and so you don't have to pay me back. It's all good, and I want to forgive you of that debt. That's a grand spot to be in. What a wonderful feeling that is, that we're forgiven, that we know that we don't have to pay that back. We can never pay the Lord back anyway, but it's a good spot to be in when in our relationship with Jesus Christ, when he forgives us. How many times does the Lord forgive us in any given day? Does anybody know? Right? So that's why the Lord said to Peter, 70 times 7, as many times as it's going to take, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness to me. So it seems like then that this servant, if this is true, and if we have a semblance of organized forgiveness, that this servant, if the king is willing to forgive him of his debt, what in turn would this servant do to somebody that owed him something? What do you think he would do? Wouldn't he be forgiving? Wouldn't we be forgiving if we were in that position, Brother Dennis, and somebody forgave us, man, of a big, huge debt, and then we loan some money to somebody else, and then they couldn't pay it back. We're going to get nasty to them, and we're going to be unforgiving. We're going to mistreat them and be downright ornery. And sometimes in this flesh, that's what we want to do. But listen to this. In verse 28, he says, but the same servant, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Now, what happened here? Because, you know, just the scripture before, his king had provided him with a debt-free proposition and forgave him. He, in turn, had Miss Pam have the same opportunity to forgive. He chose not to. Why is that? Why is it that we as Christians, when the Lord has been so forgiving to us, when He loves us and He forgives us, and He has met us at the foot of the cross on so many occasions, that He has given us the opportunity for a new breath of life. Every morning our mercies are renewed. Every single morning our mercies are renewed. We get forgiveness when we don't even deserve it. But then when we have the opportunity, why is it that we frequently choose not to forgive? How is that we choose not to? Because you do know, you understand that first of all, unforgiveness is a sin, but it also is a choice. We do have a choice to offer forgiveness to people or choose not to forgive. Does that mean that we're weak? Brother Russell, does that mean that we're weak? If we choose to forgive, we recognize these people have hurt us and it's a bad spot. They really hurt us really bad. And Brother Russell, if you knew what these people did to me, you wouldn't be up there preaching about forgiveness. You're not in my shoes and you don't know what they've done to me. Well, you're right. I don't. I don't know the full story, but I can tell you the half that I do know, and that is this. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. And that's good enough for me. And it sets the role, it sets the role model for all of us that we would be more like Jesus, starting with me. Lord, help me to be more like You. Help me to be more forgiving. Help me to recognize that area of weakness in my life, that I would not struggle with that, but I would be always forgiving and have an opportunity at every opportunity to forgive and not to question. Because the struggle with this, and we deal with this in the men's class, every time we have a men's fellowship, we talk about dare to be uncommon. So we talk about things that we encounter, and many of us need details. All the men in that class invariably will say, we want details. We want structure, and we want to see how everything's going to work out at the beginning before we reach the end. So we want the details. And so often the Lord allows things in our life, and He wants us to live a life of faith, Brother Dennis. So we take baby steps, and it's a life of faith. He doesn't give us all the information all at once, and if He did, we probably couldn't handle it. But He wants us to forgive. He wants us to offer that heart to other people. So when we think about our circle of influence and those people who may not even deserve it, the people who don't deserve forgiveness in our life, how about that? And how do we define being deserving of unforgiveness or being deserving of forgiveness? But we feel like they don't deserve to be forgiven. And it feels comfortable for us to not forgive. We hold that, and it just infiltrates our every being within us, and it makes us immobilized to do what God would have us to do. Well, listen to this. In verse 29, he says, "And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee.'" Now, doesn't that sound familiar? Yep. He just said that. The other one just said that to the king, all right? So be careful how we respond to people, because the Lord may put us in the same position that would test us or try us, and we respond in a similar fashion as the role that person is that we are just in. We need to be very cautious. And then, and he said, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So now this person who was forgiven, and this individual who was forgiven of the king, 10,000 talents, forgiven everything. He didn't lose his wife. He didn't lose his home, all of his property and his children. The king gave him a forgiveness of his complete, total debt. That same individual is rotten to the core, unforgiving, full of hate, full of bitterness, and puts the other person in prison. Now, we may not do that. Okay, so we may not do that in a physical stance. We may not, if somebody has done us wrong and somebody has hurt us, somebody that within our circle of influence that we love, that has hurt us, that we may not put them in a physical prison. But from our disposition and our relationship with them, we make them feel that they're shackled and that they're imprisoned and that they're chained and that they're in fetters because of our behavior. and it speaks volumes. It screams unforgiveness. Does anybody know what unforgiveness looks like? Has anybody in here ever not been forgiven? Have you ever needed forgiveness, but no one has ever forgiven you? Do you know what unforgiveness looks like or feels like? It's rotten to the core. It's not godly, and it's hatred full and prevalent throughout. And for us, as brothers and sisters, we've already determined it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be amongst us at all. That's for them. They answer to a different Father. We answer to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is forgiving. He forgives us. Now, listen to this. And so, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto him, their Lord, all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pitied on thee? The Lord is going to bring it to our remembrance, folks. When we have an opportunity to forgive somebody, he's going to bring it to our remembrance. And he's going to say, Brother Russell, don't you remember when I forgave you? Don't you remember that when before you got saved, you were rotten to the core, and I got saved at 12, so I didn't really know the world, but I was still a sinner? Don't you know that when you need forgiveness, I give you forgiveness? What makes you any better that you can't forgive people when they need forgiveness from you? What is it that makes you different? So the king is being told, the servant is being told this now from the king. And then, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him in the torment, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So conversely, now he's going back, and now he's going to be tormented until he's able to pay off his full debt, as once was described. And the Lord has an interesting way to bring back the remembrances of things in our lives. So given the opportunity, when we are called upon to forgive, we choose not to, we get in this flesh, and we choose not to forgive, the Lord will bring back the remembrances in our lives when we haven't forgiven somebody. And Brother Russell, why wouldn't you forgive? I'm forgiving to you. What makes you better? What is it about you that makes you feel like you can't forgive when I've forgiven you 70 times 7 and then still some? And I love you so much that I gave my only begotten son to die on the cross for your rotten soul, that I didn't have to, but his grace and mercy made me whole. And then he said, so in verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And so this evening, just real quickly, just a few thoughts. And the first one is this. If we need to understand that forgiveness brings freedom. Forgiveness brings freedom. If you don't forgive someone, even if they've hurt you so bad, and you can share the details of that that experience, and it hurt you to the core, it hurt your very being. But as Christians, we are still called upon to forgive. Does that mean that that frees them from being right? No, because maybe what they've done is really bad. Maybe what they've done is huge in the sight of the Lord, but we're called upon to still to forgive. In verse 27, let's read this again in verse 27. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. How about that? How about this? How about every opportunity going forward after this night, we're charged now with this responsibility. We'll never be able to say we didn't know again. If we didn't know now, we'll never be able to say that we didn't know this. Going forward, every time that someone has done us wrong, every single time, regardless of what it is that they do to us, every single time then we are called upon as Christians. Does it mean that we like it? No. Does it mean that the Lord's not going to judge it and take care of it? No. He will take care of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. He will take care of it. What we are charged to do is to forgive. So let's purpose, folks, this evening, let's purpose in our hearts to say, Lord, when I'm done wrong, I'm going to purpose within myself to make it a practice to forgive. Immediately. I'm not going to question it. I want you to help me. And I need your help. Because you know what? In this flesh, it doesn't come natural. All right? What does come natural is that we stay bitter. And we stay mad. We stay upset. And you know what? It's not just within this circle of influence. It's like husband and wives. Okay? It's moms, dads, and children. It's family. It's co-workers. It's anybody that we have a connection with within our circle of influence. And if the devil can keep you bitter, then he'll keep you immobilized to do the service of the Lord. He'll try to rob you of your joy, and you'll be festering in this mode of unforgiveness. And it's no good. It's not healthy, and it's sin. So forgiveness brings freedom. And how about this? But what does unforgiveness do to someone? So if we choose not to forgive, and we create unforgiveness in our lives, what does that do for us? If freedom comes with forgiveness, what comes with unforgiveness then? We imprison ourselves. And the most interesting thing is that we think that we're hurting somebody else when we don't forgive them. But Brother Steve, we're not hurting the other person. We're hurting ourselves. And so we try to put them in prison. We try to shackle them by this unforgiveness. But it's like we're the jailer, okay? We have the key to the shackles that we put on unforgiveness. But to use them, we're always there. So we're always embodied in that unforgiveness, in that position of unforgiveness. And it's an unhealthy place to be. It's bitterness. It's doom and gloom, and it creates an immobility in service for Christ. So who wants to be there? We don't want to be there. So the next thing is forgiveness brings closure. Who wants to drag that on forever? If somebody did something to you 10 years ago and you're still not forgiving that person, why? Why not? Why? This flesh wants us to do that. This flesh wants to bring up that memory of those things that have occurred to us over a period of time. Husbands, wives, wives, husbands, children, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, all this stuff. You won't believe what that person did to me. And we don't have to know. We don't have to know what has happened, but we're still called upon to forgive. So forgiveness, if we choose, remember, forgiveness is a choice. You forgive to choose. You choose to forgive whatever that harm was that was done to you. That brings closure to that whole thing. It stops it. There's no more. It just stops that progress within you. So, will we forget it? Do we need permission to not forget? Do you think that just because you forgive somebody that you forget it? Do we? Do you all?
No.
So maybe tonight we can first of all purpose within our hearts to say that we're going to forgive every opportunity that we have. But then also that every opportunity that we're tempted to have that thought again, that we would rehash that within our minds and we would say, Lord, I'll forgive them again. And I'll forgive them again and again. And again, every time we don't forget it, we don't. I'm telling you, it's happened to me, all right? Between you and me, all right? It has happened to me. We don't forget. But what I've asked the Lord to do is, Lord, when that is brought to my recollection and that's brought to my forefront, Lord, you help me to immediately forgive, immediately. Immediately forgive, to get that out of the way. Because if we don't, we rehearse that in our minds. That playback is forever gnawing at us. And we just, you wouldn't believe what they did. I can't believe they did this. And over and over and over and over and over again, we rehearse that in our minds. And why is that? Because we're human. We choose to not forget. If it comes to your conscious awareness, choose to forgive. Choose action. It's an action verb. Make it happen. Choose to forgive. So how about this? The next thing is this, and this is the last one. Forgiveness brings life. If we want life, and Jesus Christ gives us life, and he gives it more abundantly. So abundant life is a life that's full of forgiveness. And so we know that we can live an abundant life through Jesus Christ because he first forgave us. How is it that we would choose not choose? How is it that we would choose not to forgive someone, especially a brother or sister in Christ, when we have been forgiven of all of our sins? And we have, you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know when you die, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're going to heaven. And it's all possible because Jesus Christ has forgiven you. Then why is it that we have an opportunity to forgive someone else and we choose not to? It's on purpose, folks. We choose not to forgive. Why is that? So we can choose to give life, though. We can choose it. Colossians chapter 2, if you turn over there real quickly. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to read 13 through 15. And verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So the Lord doesn't pick and choose what he's going to forgive for you, all right? So it's all trespasses. And aren't you glad, amen, aren't you glad that you can live a forgiven life? So we're not perfect, but we are forgiven. So how about this? In verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it where? Where did he nail it? He nailed it to the cross. That's where our unforgiveness is on the cross. So the next time you're tempted to not forgive somebody, remember where your unforgiveness is nailed. Remember where Jesus Christ placed your sins and your unforgiveness and nailed it to the cross. And isn't that a wonderful thing? And then just quickly, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When you forgive somebody, they'll know it. They know it. When you don't forgive somebody, they know it. Our behavior speaks volumes, and people know. So in closing, let me ask you this. I heard this a long time ago, and I mentioned it just a little bit ago, but holding on to an offense against someone is like being a jailer. While the offending party is in the jail, you're keeping them in there for good. You alone have the key to let them out, but you just won't because of what they did to you. Now, the problem is, since you're the jailer, you're stuck there too. You have the keys, but you're stuck in that same spot. Now, the person might be behind the bars, but you can't go anywhere either. So the person that you think that you've put in shackles and in prison of unforgiveness, you're right there with them. And you hold the key. The only way to set yourself free is letting them go too. So this evening, we need to make a conscious decision to forgive and to make that a priority in our lives when we have an opportunity to ask the Lord to help us to choose to forgive. So I have some questions for you. Will you let someone go free today? This evening, there may be somebody here who has not forgiven somebody for something. Who knows what? That's between you and them. But I'm asking you, you hold the key. And right this very moment, you're the jailer. You've got them in prison. You hold the key. But I'm asking you, with the Lord's help, would you choose to forgive them? Would you choose to make that on purpose an opportunity to forgive? Will you turn the key? Will you take that key and will you turn it to free them? Will you forgive to break the chains to set them and you free? That's the message. Let's all stand. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. And before we do, though, every head bowed and eyes closed. This evening, I've tried to do the best I can by the Word, and we all know that unforgiveness is a horrible spot to be in. We don't like to not be forgiven, but sometimes it's difficult to forgive those who have hurt us. And it's a difficult spot for many of us to be in. But this evening, I'd like to ask you this. You might have a position in your life right now that you are being called upon. Maybe the Lord spoke to you through His Word this evening that maybe there is somebody that you need to forgive. And I would just ask this evening that if you would just slip up your hand, that just being an acknowledgement to me, Brother Russell, I need your help to pray. And I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to ask you the details. All I want to do is pray for you. But if there's an issue of unforgiveness in your life that I can help you pray with, I want to do that. Is there anybody here like that this evening? This evening, I also want to just say that there might be somebody who's here who's struggling with their salvation. Maybe you don't even feel like you've been forgiven. Maybe you don't feel like the Lord has forgiven you. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of your sin. And I'd like to offer you that as an opportunity this evening to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've not been saved this evening, or you don't know that if you died this evening that you'd go to heaven, if you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you, I'd love to pray for you. Now, how about this? One final thought. There might be somebody here who's struggling with some issues within their life, and you need forgiveness. You know that you know that the Lord can forgive you. It's a choice that you're living in. You need His forgiveness. You're not where you need to be. And as a Christian, you know that there's things that you need to make right. And your family knows it. They see it. And we've already decided that unforgiveness is a choice, but we want to be forgiven. And first of all, before we leave this building this evening, we're going to ask for forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And we're going to try to make it right with Him first. That might be you. So if you're a Christian this evening, but you know you're not where you need to be, if you raise your hand, I want to pray for you this evening too. We see those hands. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this message. Lord, we thank You of Your forgiveness and Your shed blood on the cross of Calvary, Lord, and how it moves us to do better, Lord, to help us to be forgiving and to live a life that's most pleasing unto You, Lord. We do ask that for the hands that have been raised, You know the life and You know the hearts of the people here and You know their experiences. And Lord, I certainly can't speak to that, but You can. And so I ask, Lord, that You'd help us all this evening, Lord, to search our own hearts and to search out our areas of maybe perhaps unforgiveness and areas that we can work on even better. And so this evening, Lord, we commit that to You. We ask, Lord, that You'd help us to do that very thing. In Your precious Son's name, Jesus, amen.